Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 14th perek, perek Yud Dalet of Shmuel Beis. The topic of this perek is Avshalom's return. So let's just recontextualize ourselves. At this point in time, Avshalom has murdered his half-brother Amnon. Amnon had raped Avshalom's sister, and in reprisal, he was murdered. In the meantime, Avshalom self-exiled himself to Geshur, which is where his mother was from, and this is where we leave things. David HaMelech is mourning for his murdered son, Amnon. So Yoav, in the meantime, can see that the Lev HaMelech, that the heart of the king, is thinking about Avshalom. So what he does is he hatches a plot. He goes to Tekoa, and he finds a woman in Tekoa who's a Isha Chachama, a wise woman, and he tells her the following. You've got to wear these mourning clothes, so like clothes that express that you've been in Avelus, in mourning for a long time, and this is what you should say. So what actually happens? She goes, and she's wearing these clothes of mourning. She goes in front of David, and she says, "Please save me." David says, "What's going on? What's wrong?" She says, I'm a widow. My husband passed away, and I have two sons. But the problem was they didn't get along with each other, and they were fighting in the field one day, and the one killed the other. A terrible, terrible thing. And then she says, but the problem is that the rest of the mishpacha, the rest of the family, wants to kill the remaining son because of his murder. And what that's going to do to me is it's going to make me bereft of both of my children in the revenge cycle. So David HaMelech says, "Wow!" He says, "Go to your house, and I'll reach out to you. I'm going to investigate this and see what's going on." But the woman says, "The problem is that if murder happens, I'll be responsible. A lie, Adoni HaMelech Eovon. The sin will be on my hand. Rav HaMelech Kisoy Naki. The king's going to be acquitted of any guilt if something happens." So David HaMelech says, "No, don't worry. So bring him to me, and I will put him under my protection, and we'll try to work out something that the Goel Adam will not allow to be allowed to kill him." So he's issuing protection to him. And the woman says, no. She says, "Please, I want you to swear on this." And he says, "Vayomer Chai Hashem Yipol Misaras Benech Arza." He makes an oath that the remaining son will not be killed. And then she says, turns to him and says, "Adoni HaMelech, Master the King, Can I tell you something?" He says, "Yes." She says, "Well, why do you think that Bnei Yisrael could do such a thing?" Meaning that there could be such a terrible situation in Israel, the story that I just woven for you. But number two, and this is the main point she makes, is Ke'oshem Levi, he says, "Hamelech, medaber hamelech hadavar hazeh ke'oshem. By speaking what you just said, you have indicted yourself, Levi'ilti Yashiv Hamelech es nidchoi, not to bring back his own exilee. Because you know what? He's going to die. The water is going to flow to the ground. The blood is going to fall to the ground like water. But it won't be brought back." She flips around the story. Once again, flipping around the story at David HaMelech to say that if you do what you just said, then you're answering correctly. But what you're acting like is not what you're saying. And David HaMelech immediately hears this, and is really astounded, and he realizes that she must have been set up. And he says, "Was this Yoav who told this to you?" And she says, "Yeah, I have to tell you, it was Yoav who set me up for this, and he's behind the scenes." So the Melech sends her off, and he brings in Yoav, and he says to Yoav, "Go get Avshalom." Yoav is obviously behind the scenes and all of this, and he says, your servant, you did the words of your servant, and I'll go get him. So he went off to Geshur. He brings back Avshalom, but Avshalom, but David refuses to see him. David refuses to look at or grant audience to his own son Avshalom. Upnei Melech loy ra'ah. In the meantime, then Tanakh sort of takes a very interesting tangent to tell us that Avshalom was a very fine, handsome, and beautiful young man from Meragloi, Vemikaf Ragloi ad Kod Kodoi, from the palm of his foot to the top of his skull. He was there was no blemish whatsoever. A very fine looking young man. He had very long hair. Some of the Mepharshim say he was a Nazir who used to lighten his hair once a year. But when he'd shave off that hair, it would be 200 shekel, pounds of hair. We're talking, like, so he's a very Very beautiful looking man, and he had three children. Two of them were boys, one of them was a girl whose name was Tamar, and who was very beautiful, which, by the way, just tells us the tragedy. You know, in a sense, he's naming after his raped sister. Very, very sad description. You mean to say he's still caught up in that cycle of pain. Okay, so in the meantime, Avshalom is not seen by David, and it takes 2 years, and he's living in Yerushalayim, no audience to do with David. So he sends messages to Yoav. Yoav, please help me. Yoav doesn't respond. He sends messages to Yoav. Yoav doesn't answer him. So Avshalom decides he wants to get Yoav's attention, so he burns down Avshalom's field. Well, that certainly helped. So Yoav arrives. He said, well, what's going on here? Why did you burn down the field? And he said, well, you weren't answering me. So Yoav says, okay, you know what? And he worked out to grant an audience to the king. And the king, he meets with the king, and the king kisses Yoav, and that's the end of the perek. Very strange perek on a number of accounts. It's a very sad perek. First of all, it is worthy to note that when David HaMelech is communicated from outside forces, both Nasan HaNavi and the Isha HaTekoais, this woman from Tekoa, they both communicate in Mesholim. That's the way that they capture David's attention. It's interesting why it's necessary in both those cases for David to think about it as an external case to himself. Nonetheless, when Yoav at the beginning of the perek notices that Leiv HaMelech al Avshalom, that his heart is with Avshalom, what does that really mean? So the Mitzvot David says it in a, spins it in a positive way, which is that he loves, the Yoav saw that he loves Avshalom, he's pining away for Avshalom, which is why he went to get him. But the Malmi says, no, it's not that simple. What he saw was Leiv HaMelech al Avshalom is that he still has anger against Avshalom for killing his eldest son, Amnon, which means that there's this hate which he needs to diffuse, but he can't do it in a direct way, in a transparent way. So he gets this woman to set up the framework where David HaMelech realizes how mistaken he is about his hate, which is why he sets it up as a trick, in a sense. Now, to be honest, to be fair, I think that in the complexity of a human psyche, I think both the Mitzudos and the Malbim are correct. In David is both an innate love and an innate anger and pain towards Avshalom, and that's the complexity of this relationship as it continues. In the meantime, and just a few things to notice, when she talks to him, she talks in very fatalistic terms when she describes the way it works, which is, by the way, speaking to the language David HaMelech spoke to when he talked to Shaul beforehand. When she says, basically, the word she uses is about, I just want to quote this, when describing how this is going to be, she says, Kimois namus. He's going to die. We're all going to die. V'chamayim hanigrorim arza. Like water that flows to the ground. Asher lo yasofu, which will never be brought in again. She has a sort of fatalistic description of like sort of life ebbing away as it flows to the ground. What is she really saying? So the Mitzvot David points out, yeah, well, she says on the one hand that means to say that he's going to die the way he needs to die anyway, so you shouldn't get involved. But number two, she's adding on, is that like when water disperses and blood sort of soaks into the ground, there's no way bringing that back. By killing him or by seeking vengeance on Avshalom, you're not going to bring back your Amnon. You're just going to have more blood. You're just going to be bereft of your own children. That's what the woman is arguing over here, in a sense, with David HaMelech. Why do we need to know about Avshalom's beauty now? Meaning, like, why is the perek interrupting itself to describe his beauty? So the Radak really pushes it forwards and says, well, we're going to see soon that Avshalom is going to now stage a rebellion against his father, and maybe his beauty was something which was one of the causes for it, because he felt himself more better equipped, better, you know, ready to be a king, and his looks certainly helped that self-perception, which is an interesting, intriguing option. However, the Chomas Anach, this is the Chida on Tanach, says an interesting point. And that is that what the Tanakh is doing is, in a certain sense, is a dramatic irony. It's telling us how perfect he looked. There was no mum in him, no blemish from his foot to his skull. What the Tanakh is pointing out is that David HaMelech wasn't looking at his foot to his skull. David HaMelech was looking into his heart. And in his heart there was a blemish. And there's a certain dramatic irony that we're looking at a perfect-looking human being who David can't see perfection in because of the pain of what this person has caused. That's the framework in which the Tanakh works with over here. It is interesting that after this meeting, where Avshalom is granted an audience with David, David kisses him. all the Meforshim, the Malbim, the Ralbag, all point out over here that when you read the language very carefully, it says Vayishak HaMelech LeAvshalom. It doesn't say Vayishak just without a lamed, just Vayishak Avshalom, he kissed Avshalom, which indicates actually how he did it. Vayishak, when it doesn't have any further prefixes, indicates a kiss of intimacy. When it says Vayishak Le, it probably means, the Meforshim suggest, kissing on the hand, meaning to say an external or formal kiss. Which means that ultimately, even though they did get together, and David HaMelech made some movement towards reconciliation, it was clear to him, and patently clear to Avshalom, that the relationship would never be the same. And this is what sets into motion the next stage of that game. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.